Hi, everyone. Welcome to Mama Wears Athleisure. I am your host, Mariela De Santiago, a first-time mom. We focus on all things mom with tips to help make life easier and more organized for all you mamas out there. Hi, everyone. So today we're going to talk about induction, which I'm sure a lot of mamas out there are very familiar with. I myself was induced, and that ended up turning into an emergency C-section. But I feel like we hear this word a lot and maybe don't quite understand what that means or kind of have an idea. So I wanted to really dissect this so that we know going into it what this means. So we have Jenna, a doula, who is here to share all of that with us.
So I am a doula tog. I am part doula, part birth photographer, and I live in central New Jersey with my husband and my two-year-old Luca. I started doing newborn photography, and I was professionally trained in the hospital with a national photography company in 2019. I was induced myself, and after a pretty traumatic three-day labor and inevitable C-section, I decided that I wanted to start doing birth photography to offer a visual aid for the families to be able to process their birth experience. I think much of the birthing process is spent feeling the physical sensations and all of the emotions that come with childbirth. And I think afterwards, we sort of block some of it out, maybe purposefully, maybe not, just because we're so in the moment. But having that visual aid to draw back on, I think, is invaluable. So after I started doing birth photography, I realized that it would make a lot of sense for me to also get certified as a doula. And here we are.
That's awesome. So is that a common thing, a doula tog? I've never heard it until I saw Lena from the New Mamas podcast, by the way, post about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's common. It's not unheard of. I did not coin the term doula tog. It is a thing. I think it's definitely not a thing on the East Coast. It's very popular in Australia. And I see a lot of people in sort of like the Midwest doing doula and birth photography combo work. So yeah, I'm hoping that it becomes more of a thing. I think it should be accessible to everyone. It's a really cool option for sure.
That's super neat.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into it. What is induction, first of all?
So induction is a process that prompts the uterus to contract during pregnancy before you go into labor naturally on your own. And then with an induction, you are hoping to deliver vaginally.
And who typically gets induced? I mean, I shared that I did because there were just a few concerns, but typically speaking, what moms would be recommended to get induced?
Sure. So I think a lot of inductions are medical for medical reasons. So someone maybe with gestational diabetes or preeclampsia, if you have low amniotic fluid or your baby has restricted growth. Also, it could be like issues with the placenta, so placenta previa or placental abruption, somebody who has an infection. And then, of course, there is if you are like beyond 42 weeks or what your provider believes to be 42 weeks, you are at some increased risk. So they will typically perform or suggest that you agree to an induction. If you are water breaks and you go into labor, you have a certain amount of time before you're at risk for an infection. So if your water breaks and you don't begin contracting or dilating on your own, they might go ahead and suggest induction. And then the last option for induction is elective. So like me, I was super uncomfortable. I was at my due date. I was losing weight because I couldn't eat. So my baby was really large and my stomach was being pushed up and I had acid reflux. So that was an elective induction, which is also possible.
So how is this different than going into labor naturally? I know you kind of shared a little bit about it, but like what would somebody expect essentially to happen that makes it different from naturally going into labor?
So the first thing that, and the least invasive way, it's actually pretty invasive, but the least invasive way to start an induction is just a membrane sweep, which is when your provider inserts their fingers into the cervix and they sort of just scoop around and try to open you up to bring on contractions and also sort of bring pressure, to push baby down on your cervix. And then beyond the membrane sweep, like if you have induction and you go into the hospital, they can start with the Foley bulb, which is also non, like, so no medicine is involved. It's just a device, and they will put, it's a catheter that goes inside of your cervix with a balloon at the end of it. And then over usually like around a 12-hour period, the balloon will expand, which forces your cervix to start the process of dilation. And then another thing that they could do is give you prostaglandins, so Cervidil or Cytotec, which is either inserted vaginally or taken orally, which will ripen your cervix for labor and dilation. And then, of course, there's Pitocin, which so many moms have experienced, and Pitocin is administered via an IV. And the IV will deliver medication to you that prompts your uterus to contract and brings on artificial labor. And then the last method of induction that they might use is a rupture of membranes, so breaking your water, which usually makes labor a bit more intense at that point.
Geez, I feel like you just mentioned so many things that I probably, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Hey, I'm Amanda Gurman, host of the Honest as a Mother podcast. Join me every week to have an open and honest conversation about what motherhood is actually like. Let's ditch the perfect mom persona and let moms everywhere know that they're not alone. Listen each week on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, ask away. We can talk about each method in depth. I mean, it's a really interesting process. I think that one of the things that really sticks in my mind is low and slow. If you want to have sort of a gentle induction where you're not on a clock, you know, this would mean that you're probably low risk, maybe an elective induction. You can take your time. You can start with the least invasive procedures, which are the membrane sweep and the Foley bulb, includes no medication, and just let your body do its thing. And then you take step by step from there, depending on how your body is responding.
All of this is like so fascinating because, like I said, you know, you hear so many moms say, oh, yeah, I was induced, or oh, yeah, I'm going to get induced. And especially as a new mom or first time mom going through it, like you don't really know what a lot of that means. You kind of, and even just talking to a doctor, like it all just sounds like gibberish. And you're like, okay, cool. Like,
And I think that it's something that as a doula, I feel that knowledge is power. And in my training, they say that you should really kind of keep your cards to yourself. You don't want to scare a client or make somebody nervous if they don't need to be nervous. But I think that knowledge is power. And when doctors are shouting or ordering these procedures that you have no idea what they are, you have no idea what the medications they are using are going into you, I think that it can be really confusing. And maybe you agree to things that you wouldn't agree to if you really kind of knew what was going to happen after that was given to you.
yeah. And I mean, I feel like just naturally you tend to trust those providers because they are the professionals. You have no idea what's really going on other than what you're feeling. And if you there's so much beeping, right? And like people are running in and out, coming every few minutes. So it's kind of like you're hoping, you're trusting that they are obviously providing you with the best care. But yes, you want to know what that is, especially when it comes to being able to advocate for yourself and to be able to say yes or no to something that you may not really want done. So, that being said, I say this because a lot of moms may come in with a birth plan. So, if that is the case, then what should a mama know about induction that can help support their birth plan?
I think with induction, there are a lot of ways that you can still have the birth that you envision. A lot of what I believe can dictate the energy of the room is just the setting itself. So turning off the lights, not having those medical fluorescent bulbs shining down on you, bringing your own blanket from home, bringing your own pillow. For Lena's birth, we brought fairy lights, which really set the mood, and she was induced. I think that a lot of people hope that labor will go quickly. With induction, that's less likely. So it's important that if you're being induced, you kind of go into it with the attitude of like, okay, I'm going to be here for a while. You know, maybe bring a book to read, or if you like to do like cross stitching or, you know, Sudoku, think of a show that you might want to binge watch. Like, you're in it for the long haul if you're being induced. So it's important that you go in there knowing that your body is going to take a while because it wasn't ready to go into labor, right? You're forcing yourself into labor. And just sort of be present in those hours with rest and being in tune with what feels good. If that means taking a shower, getting in the tub, if your birthing place offers that option. These are things that you can still all do, whether or not it's a physiological birth, which means you're going into labor naturally, or if you're being induced.
Wanted to add, if you do bring your own pillow, don't bring a white pillowcase, because I made that mistake and they took my pillowcase. So now I have three matching pillowcases and the fourth pillow does not get one.
Yes. I would say also Lena was just saying on her podcast, like, she shouldn't have worn a white shirt in labor because so much stuff got on that white shirt.
Yeah. Like, be okay with your clothes. And if you are going to take a shower, bring your own shower shoes.
For sure. For sure.
Well, finally, my last question. Do you have any other tips, suggestions, or recommendations?
Eat before you go to be induced. So plan a fancy last meal. You won't be able to eat for a while once you go in. I think it's important to remember that vomiting is super common in labor. So something that's like not greasy or fried or heavy, something that's going to be feeling good on your body, something that's nourishing. Low and slow, like I said, name of the game. Try not to rush it. Don't ask for them to up your Pitocin because your contractions don't feel strong. I think that whatever is happening, we shouldn't rush the process unless it's an absolute emergency. You want it to be a while. You don't want to ramp things up before they need to be ramped up and then be in unnecessary pain. And I think making a birth plan, having something that you can control. You're not going to control the induction. I think everybody should make a birth plan for in the case that they are being induced and that they will be induced for whatever reason. And just try their best to create the scene that's going to make them feel calm, because it will be a long process. And obviously birth is not, it doesn't feel great. So as comfortable as you can make yourself and as comfortable as your partner can be so that they can support you, you want to try to preserve those feelings of good vibes and like peaceful energy in the room.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on and sharing all of this and yeah, just helping us understand what this very common word means.
Yeah, for sure. No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for our next episode. You can find us on Instagram for more updates and tips. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and give us a review if you like us.